Right. What am I going to say at the start of the episode?
Hello is always a good place.
Yeah, okay. Well, we could start with that. Hiya. This is the Slimmer World podcast. We're going to talk about weighing on scales. I am going to absolutely go on a full geek out. I'm going to get my physics A-level out and I'm going to bust a few myths about the scales. I'm going to blow Anna's little mind.
Little?
Are you ready for this?
Little?
Yeah.
Little?
Well, it's little, but it's action-packed.
Oh, okay. Like that, yeah. You undug that hole there.
Your slim mind. Is that any better?
Yeah, that's fine. Isn't it interesting? Call it small. I feel like you're belittling me. Call it slim. I'm like, yeah. Fine, slim.
Well, it's me and Anna. We're back. We're here to do another Slim World episode and we're going to crack on with it. And cue the ukuleles as we do every single time. So, today we're going to talk about the home weigh-in. As many Slimmer World members, perhaps if you're a group member, it might not necessarily be the same if you're an online member, but as group is out for summer or for the year, or we're not quite sure what the situation is with lockdown happening, then many of us have turned back to rely on home weigh-in. And we've talked about this on previous episodes, but it seemed to be a hot subject. We've had many emails from some of you talking about your weigh-in woes. Some of you are saying that it's really keeping you on track. So we're going to go and pick some of your comments about whether the home weigh-in is help or hindrance to you, which will be really, really fascinating. We're going to look at some non-scale victories. And as I said in the intro, I've gone full geek out. You know, like even, I mean, I've written in different colours, Anna, my notes. I've looked at various sources to cross-reference my information. I mean, would you expect anything less than that from me?
No, and the fact, we have a little chat, don't we, before we sometimes record a podcast, and I told you I didn't want to know the facts because I wanted to be wowed like the listeners are. So I have no idea what's going to come out of your mouth. I'm a little scared. A little scared you're going to produce like a scales from the 1820s and do something with it. I don't know, but I'm quite fascinated because I think really interesting to know the history of maybe scales and weight and all that type of stuff. And I think we've all cultivated our own feelings around scales and things, haven't we? And I think sometimes you need to take a step back, and I like science for that, or research, because it shows you maybe more than you understand about it.
Well, it's taking the emotion out of it. You know, knowledge is power. When we take away the emotional aspect and we get into the analytics, the why, the science behind it, I think that takes away some of the fear. So that was my thinking anyway, as I go through the journey of June of not weighing and trying to reassess and reframe my scale, my relationship with the scales. Is that too deep?
No, I think lockdown's taught me more than I've probably identified in the last nearly 10 years as a consultant, is that so many people have a negative relationship with the scales, and it's fine when you're in group once a week because you can manage that. But how lockdown has changed so many things for so many people. And actually what I'm seeing is that fear of the scales and the domination of the scales is much bigger in lockdown.
See, this whole thing about scales, about emotions as you go through a weight loss journey, you know, we often talk on this podcast, it's not just about your sins, your healthy extras, you know, following the plan, the food optimizing, the recipe books. Actually, so a lot of it can be just going through and sort of having a bit of a sort out in your head. And I've just got to tell you, like this, I ended up having a little cry this morning, right? Because I was watching this program and it like really hit me hard. You know, when something's just like, whoa, that's why I feel that way. This is going to sound so stupid to say out loud, but right, I love a TV program where you have a transformation.
Love it.
You know, there's a before and there's an after.
Yeah. Do you have a special, like, I'm not into anything. My thing is hair transformations at the moment. I've spent hours watching them. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like a physical body makeover. Actually, it was this program called Hoarders, which is super, super old, and it's on Amazon Prime, and I've not really ever had Amazon Prime, so like going through very old programs, and I just put it on, and what I thought was really interesting was actually a lot of the episodes didn't really have a happy ever after ending, because really it showed that some of the psychological things that people go through when they're hoarding are much more complicated than, you know, let's just clean it up, let's just burn everything, let's just throw it all away. And like the process of like kind of clearing through this physical stuff, like it's not about hurrying up and speeding the process up. And you could see the pressure from some of the other family members of like, oh, come on, what's your problem? Just get on with it. Let's just fix this. Let's just throw it out. But what it really kind of struck a chord with me is it just kind of like took my breath away, where this guy was talking about how, I wrote down what he said, right? He said, this behavior is slowly killing me. It's toxic. It will become a slow, agonizing death. And he kind of talked about, how did it become this? Like, how have I managed to hide this for so long? Now, he was talking about physical items. But I really kind of thought, what about emotional hoarding? Like, how much stuff have I been carrying inside my own head, inside my own body for years? And it's not a case of I can just go to the tip or the recycling plant and dump it and then it's gone and I'm cured forever. Like, and then sometimes there can be pressure on other people who are like, well, you know, you're fat. Just don't eat as much. Just do exercise. Come on, get on with it. It's not a problem. We can do it. And it just really struck me as like, whoa, it was quite hard to watch other people. And then you're kind of reflecting and thinking, God, I say that stuff too. I feel in that similar way. And it completely took my breath away. And these people hadn't dealt with the issue until it was in their face, like, let's say equivalent in weight kind of terms. You are having a heart attack, you are diagnosed with diabetes, whatever kind of health complication. And in their situation, they were about to be evicted. Their partners were saying they were divorcing them. Their children were starting to copy their behavior. And so they didn't have to deal with it until it was slap banging in their face and they were being forced to. Oh. And I think with mental health, it is so much easier to hide it from other people. But we don't have to deal with it until we have a nervous breakdown, until, you know, there's a trigger, a really big event that happens, and then all the cards fall down at once. And it was like, what if we could continuously let go of the stuff we were carrying, find a place for it, put it there, and then go to it when we need to? And almost just like that idea of decluttering and organize our lives mentally as much as we do physically.
Yeah, we just don't do that though, do we? We don't take good enough care of our brains, our minds, our emotions as we do like our homes, our cars, stuff like that. We're not good at it. And you know, I think that's something that surprised me in therapy journeys I've been on and stuff, is how much you hold and how much you don't almost realize until you start unleashing it, and then it can be just like a volcano, can't it? I always find, like, I think people's emotions come out in different ways. And like the program you're watching, The Hoarders, obviously their emotion came out in that way. For a lot of people listening to us, their emotion comes out in their weight and in their food, doesn't it? So actually we eat our emotions, or we've gained weight as a result of an emotional event. And it's very interesting to watch how different types of people behave.
Or how it manifests.
Yeah, because it's so different, isn't it? But very similar. And very similar what I watch with people with the scales, and how they deal with them or they don't deal with them. And I think that's got a lot to do with how you feel about where, what your weight gain means, what your weight loss means, and what that number signifies. Does that make sense? Like, I think we all have an emotional attachment to a certain number. Like, why is your target your target? Why is my target my target? I have a number in my head. I don't know where it's come from, but this number is something I've got to get to, and I have no idea why. Do you know why your target is your target? Is it like a BMI one? Is it in a healthy zone, or is it just a number you've plucked out of the air?
Mine is in a healthy BMI and is in a kind of higher bracket for weight in my height. So, yeah, I guess it's BMI related, but it's hard to know, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's so many outside forces that play into that. Like for women, the target I hear the most is 9 stone 7 and 10 stone 7. I don't know where these numbers originate from or what society denotes you are when you get to these numbers. Or I also hear a lot, I want to be the way I was when I was 21, when I was 18 or something. That there's places we want to get back to emotionally, physically, and the number kind of holds all that, doesn't it, in one? Very deep.
Well, you know, it's just the whole, the numbers, the non-scale victories, the celebrating your achievements, the letting go of stuff. It's just, it's all been like bumbling around my mind in the past couple of weeks. It's like, I even really kind of thought, like, the question of how are you? Like, and I think I'd realised I'd even been avoiding truly facing what I was feeling throughout lockdown. Because I think if a friend had asked me that, and I'd been avoiding some of my friends, if I was honest, seeing them, because I was almost afraid that I couldn't lie to my real friends. Like, if they said, how are you? I would just be like, wah.
Like I just, you know. When I just saw you, didn't I? I was fine. I've had a really stressful day. And then I saw Claire and I've just burst into tears, because there's some people you just can't hide it from. Like, you can't put that brave face on with, isn't it? And that's good.
Yeah. You know, there's been a lot of pondering. Like, I just want to actually kind of say, for people who are living on their own at the moment, who don't have a partner or children with them, I just really want to send you like a bit of heartfelt love. Because I've been thinking back, you know, even when you go and listen to Claire's story, you know, my kind of episode where we talked about my background, and my goodness, I really struggled with loneliness. Oh my God, I just felt so aloof, outside, disconnected to the world. And I've been truly grateful that I'm lucky for once I've got somebody, a partner that can support me. But the other day, I just kind of sat back and thought, I don't know how I got through sometimes that time on my own. And I will never forget how difficult that was, how hard. And I think unless you've been in that situation, you can't quite comprehend how tough it is to get up, to motivate yourself, to do everything, to put the bins out, to, you know, do all the washing, to do all the cooking, and just how you just long for a bit of support. So it just reminded me this week that I wanted to kind of give like a special like hello and just keep going if that's you, because I was just so, I will never forget what that was like.
I've got so many members that come on, and it's like one of the only interactions they get is when they're Zooming with us. And, you know, we can say to them all these lovely things. And then one lady said to me, but I'm on my own 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, and I can't imagine how tough that will be. And I think it just gives, I think they should be proud of the strength they're showing just to do it, because, you know, this isn't going to last forever, and we are going to come out the other side, and hopefully it will make us better people. I know that sounds so cheesy, but I honestly think that for a lot of us, we're going to come out having shedded some baggage. I hope so. Because I think, yeah. I don't know about you, but I feel I've had time to slow down a little bit. Do you feel that at all?
Yeah.
Kind of.
I do.
Not really.
No, I have. It's made me value what's really important.
Yeah, totally.
And a lot of the small stuff that I've sweat over, and it's just allowed me to take time to get used to my new skin, quite literally, actually, because, you know, we talked before about losing a lot of weight and then learning how to get comfortable in this new body that you have worked so hard for. And it's like, oh, how does this work? But it's also, I think, surrounded by just, there's a lot of noise going on, right? There's a lot of noise in the news. There's, you know, you're watching a death count, which doesn't help. And then also something else that we just want to reference, something that we, it's quite difficult to know how to find the right words. We're going to do something a little bit different at the end of this podcast. And we kind of talked about how and why and what do we say, but it's in connection to the Black Lives Matters movement and, you know, the death of George Floyd being killed in Minneapolis at the end of May. And just the, you know, the protest and the people finding their voice more than ever before. And we wanted to do something to mark our support that would be suited to a tribute to him in our small way, and share that on our platform and use this as the right opportunity. And it's weird because I was trying to write down some words that I could read out in a script or something, but I don't think that there really is the right words for us to say. But I did hear actually in another Zoom call that I was on, I heard someone say, the only thing I can say wrong is to say, to not say anything.
Yes.
And so I just thought exactly what we said on our Instagram post on Blackout Tuesday, you know, we can no longer look away, that Black Lives Matter, that we see you, we hear you. We want to know your story, no matter your race, colour or creed. And so to mark our tribute to him, we are going to finish this episode with 8 minutes and 46 seconds silence. It's entirely up to you if you want to observe that silence with us, or you can duck out. But we just wanted to use our podcast, our platform, to say that we support you. And 8:46, if you don't know, is the amount of time that the police officer's knee was on George Floyd's neck. So that's the serious side of the podcast that we will come to. And we thought at the end of an episode is perhaps more suitable for those of you who want to endorse it and those of you who don't want to. So let's come back to the title of this podcast, Home Weigh-In, Help or Hindrance. I put this on our Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. And I have to say, I was quite amazed because actually both of us were coming from the point of view that the scales were not our friends. But what was really interesting, I felt, on the Instagram post was I thought it was 50-50 split, really, of people saying, yep, it does help me, and no, it doesn't. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought that it was really interesting to see how many positive views there were actually, and it also almost replicated what I see in group with my members, which is really interesting how some people absolutely no issue, dig it, can get on once a week, it really helps, and then there is other side which is like fries my head, can't do it, absolutely ruin it for me. So I think it is almost confirmation that it's different for everyone, isn't it? It really is, and what fits one person doesn't fit another. And I think coming from a Slim More consultant point of view, I totally understand both sides of the coin. And for us as consultants, it's been such a weird thing because we've sat here, for, if you're like me, for nearly 10 years and said, you know, let's just weigh once a week on the same scales at group. And then we got into lockdown. I'm like, would you like to weigh? It goes against my grain. And I think for a lot of my members, it's really worked and it's fine. But I say to the ones that don't, let's get a pair of jeans out. Get some cotton or some wool and measure. Like, don't become a slave to them.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, you know, just looking through some of these comments here. Christine, I'm hating home weigh-ins. I'm weighing every day when I shouldn't. I have no idea what the difference is between my scales and my consultants. Sandra, I hate them. Totally stress me out and an addiction that I had previously got rid of. Tracy, I've become obsessed with the scales. I've been weighing every day, which I know doesn't help, but I just can't help it. And then, you know, on the other side, Mandy saying, it does help. It keeps me accountable to myself. If I lied, I'd only be fooling myself. And that is a comment that I thought was very interesting because I have seen the private messages in our inbox. I have seen the emails where some of you are honest enough to admit to us, perhaps not your consultant, that perhaps the number you are supplying as your weight is not really the number that you are. And it's a bit like lying about your age, isn't it?
And can I, yeah, totally. And can I just say something from a consultant point of view? Please don't hide anything from us. Really don't. If you want to weigh, absolutely do it. If you don't, it's fine. But it's your journey and don't ever feel like you've got to show us that you're losing when you're not or anything like that, because we just want to know the real story so we can help you. Do you know what I mean? I've got, like, Claire, you've stopped weighing, haven't you? I've got a couple, you know, I said it to a lady in group today. The scales are frying your head. Let's look at another way of measuring how you're doing. Because at the moment, the scales are sending you so far west that you're absolutely sabotaging. So it is really important, you know, from us, there is no pressure. Because we're sat there, slimmers, just like you. Like, I get weighed on a Saturday. I feel a little bit sick in my stomach when I get on the scales. I feel nervous. I feel cross. I feel elated. I'm just like you, so I'm not here to judge. So, yeah, please, please don't feel like tell us you're 21 when you're actually 76.
Did the thing that really... It kind of makes me smile. I know that's a cruel word to kind of use, but it's so nice in a weird sadistic way when I see these comments. I'm like, oh, thank God it's not just me. It's like justifying the way that I feel. You know, it's like Samantha here says, for me, they're a total block. I've become obsessed and I would weigh throughout the day, not even just once a day. And because of that, I haven't weighed at all during lockdown because I'm trusting in the plan. I'm feeling the results. Once I've nailed my relationship with food, I might be able to overcome the battle with the scales. And that's exactly where I am coming from at the moment.
So I think this is, Samantha, you make such an eloquent point and I couldn't put it better myself. Like I always say, think about what naturally slim people do. They know when they've overeaten a bit, they eat a bit less, or they go by their genes. I think what we do as slimmers, or I know I have done this, I'm so desperate to see the weight loss. I'm so desperate to be fixed. I'm so desperate to get my fingers and forestay and be gone. I get into that minute detail, and that minute detail then pulls me further away. So actually giving yourself over to the plan almost and trusting in it is far more beneficial than going, I ate a biscuit. It's got seven sins in it, and I've put on half a pound. Like, I used to weigh 17 times a day. That's how bad it was for me. And what I realised is while I was doing that, I couldn't lose any weight because I would celebrate that I got half a pound off when I'd eaten chips and then go and only eat melon when the scales didn't go the way I wanted. And I wasn't focusing on the plan. I was focusing on the numbers. And I think it's really important to recognise what you're doing, because for a lot of us, we're in a habit that we can't even see is going on. We really, really can't. And I think what I've seen in you, Claire, in the last couple of weeks is a slightly happier version of you because you're not a slave to that number at the moment.
Well, I've given myself a bit of a break and I've eaten some cake, I've eaten some pizza. I mean, I know I've put on weight. I can feel it. You know, it's a couple of pairs of jeans, so I'm like, yeah, these are a bit tighter.
Right.
I feel a bit more bloated. I can feel the impact of eating more sugar or eating a bit fattier food. But I also just needed to just loosen the corset of life, like breathe a little. Jesus.
I was saying to my group today, like, it's very, is it cyclical? Is that the right word? With slimming, sometimes you feel super motivated, super inspired to carry on. And other times you just need to take a deep breath, take a bit of pressure off. And it's very important to recognise the warning signs of that. And I think for a lot of people, the warning signs that the pressure's too much, of course it's too tight, is how the numbers make you feel. And if the numbers are determining your emotion, your mood, then that's a dangerous place to be in, isn't it? Because what does that then do? When you don't get the result you want, I used to feel like a failure, like the plan didn't work, a myriad of emotions. And when the number changed to something I wanted, somehow chips were my best friend and I magically eat them. So if you are in an emotional like tussle with the scales, let that be a red light saying, hold on, I need to think about this in another way.
Yeah, see, another Anna sent a message saying about how, it wasn't actually it wasn't. You. I did check
There's
this.
No spelling mistakes.
Not me. So Anna said the scale had become the bane of her life, and actually when she was weighing, you know, from the day to the night and then seeing the figures change, then she kind of was using it almost as a way to punish herself. And she was letting them rule her life and was realising there wasn't this pot of gold to come. Now, she's been back enjoying the plan, exercise, and just trying to enjoy life as much as she can during lockdown. She's lost 6 stone and she's still got 2.5 stone to go. But yeah, 6 stone is an incredible amount. And actually, doesn't that kind of observation at this point in a journey show that this is about a lifestyle of tweaking, of recognizing, of changing, rather than boom, let's just shed 8.5 stone and then go back to the way that we were living before. It seems a little bit, yeah, it just seems a little bit like she's thought this through and she's paying attention. What's the phrase that I think a friend said to me? Tune into the whispers before they become shouts. I have to say that in a really cheesy voice.
Why? Because you believe it really, but you don't want to admit that you love that, don't you? I love that type of thing because it's so true. Like, listen, it's like, you know, listen to those tiny little warning signs before it becomes a massive deal, because then you can deal with it. And some of us are not really great at doing that because we have learned to live in a reactive way. So we only deal with something when it's really punching us in the face rather than when it's a tiny, tiny little prick. So I think that's a really good kind of place to be at. And also know that if this is going to be long term and you're going to lose weight and you're going to keep it off, this isn't going to be about the scales in the end. This is going to be about the long term habits that you form so that you make long term continued good changes, you know. And eventually, like we say in the Slim for Life book, I don't want you to be getting on the scales. You know, think about people who don't struggle with their weight. They might get on them once in a blue moon. They might go to the doctor and they get them on the scales. They're not like us. Like Saturday morning, I've got to have a wee, brush my teeth, put my hair up, breathe out, take my leg left off of it, you know. And it's just knowing that the scales are not the be-all and end-all. Like in our episode about diabetes, it's so much more, isn't it? And if the scales could capture what was happening to your liver, what was happening to your brain, what was happening to your pancreas and your blood levels and all of that, then it would be coming out with massive smiles, wouldn't it? But it doesn't always do that.
No, it does not. If anything, in the last couple of weeks, as I've not weighed, it has started to kind of help me mentally prepare for what Target would be like. I had never really thought, oh yeah, when you get to Target, you don't need to weigh every day, every week and panic. Actually, you should be able to like know your body and know your signals and know what's right to eat and just get in the groove. And I do know how to eat healthy. I do know how to cook. I do know how to do exercise. So just start to kind of see what would that feel like? What would that be?
Yeah. And I think it's about really calmly and quietly trusting in the habits you formed. Just knowing that when you've been on a slimming journey, if you've done it and you've built these new habits ingrained and you've kind of overwritten the old habits that you had, and it's giving that trust to that, isn't it? And that's a really, really terrifying thing, because for so many of us, our weight loss and gain is so embroiled in so many emotions that to trust that we could stay in this place is terrifying. But you can. You really, really can. And I think the first step to that is recognizing that the number is a minute proportion of what you've achieved.
Okay, are you ready for a bit of
come on, geekery?
Geekery, yeah. I've just got to move my book slightly to make sure that I'm... are you ready?
Can you do your newsreader voice like you do? Because I like that voice. You haven't tuned into Claire on the news.
Well, I've written it in a more conversational style. I can't even talk. Jesus. Right, let me just tell you. So I looked at the word scales. Where does the word come from? It is. It appears in Old Norse, it appears in Old German, Old Dutch. It used to refer to a bowl, drinking cup or a shell in the early 15th century. It was a weighing instrument back then. They described it as a pan of balance. In the 17th century, they started using scales to compare an estimate. And merchants needed a way to assess the values of goods. And then it was like developed during the Antiquity Age, so the Roman Empire. And they actually have found relics dating back to 2000 BC of scales in Pakistan. Get that. They were like a bit like the Libra Zodiac. They used stones to weigh until there was an equilibrium. So where they were doing their trades. However, in Roman times, there was... a little bit of rumours of cheating the scales back then. There was a lot of accusations of fixed and rigged balance techniques to fix the figures. So, you know, if you're trying to get that 5-stone award and, you know... So then basically the next update in history was in the industrial era, where Richard Salter, is a word you may recognise, yeah? He invented the spring scales in the late 18th century. Yeah, are you with me?
What's a spring scale?
Well, there are three different types of scales, Anna. I'm glad that you asked.
Oh my God, guys, you can't see her face. But when I just asked, she was like, the answer to that, thank you so much for asking. Well, I know.
Yes, so there are pan balancers, there are spring balancers, you know, where the little thing kind of bounces a little, right? And then there are what most of us know if we go to group, the electronic balancers, okay? So they give weights instantly, like through a digital readout. So here is what is happening when you are going to step on an electronic scale, okay? This is it. I'm saying I learned this because take the emotion out of it. Let's just look at the actual science and the process. I have actually got a science degree, just to let you know.
Yeah? So have I.
It's not a lie. It's not a lie, actually.
No, it's so high. Don't tell anyone.
You've got a science degree.
Me like that.
Sorry, you cut out at that precise moment. That was apt, wasn't it? What have you got a science degree in?
I've got a human communications degree. So I majored in neurobiology with counselling.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll take back that tiny mind comment at the start. What did you get? Did you get a tutu?
One grade or one mark off a first, thank you very much. I'm a diligent student. Look there, she had me boxed off, didn't she? She thought I'm all hair and all nails, didn't she?
You
didn't.
Yeah, that's
that.
What you sold us. You sold us a lie. You're as big a geek as me.
I never sold you thick. I just sold you glamour.
Okay, let me tell you the story about how the scales work, Anna. So you enter the group, you queue up, you pay, you take off your shoes, you do the little dance, you take your socks off, you take your Fitbit off, you take your pants off, if you're me, like once when I got my 4-stone award, and you stand on the platform and your weight is pushing down and it compresses this pressure sensor. If you want the technical term, it is a piezoelectric transducer.
Course it was.
Don't ask me to spell it because I don't think I've spelt it right. And then this is a kind of crystal. This pressure sensor is a crystal that makes an electric current when you squeeze it. And basically, the harder you push down on it, the more current it makes. So the heavier you are, the more current flows into this little pressure sensor, the transducer. And then an electronic circuit connected to the transducer measures the current and then converts that into a weight measurement.
All in like a tenth of a second.
Yeah, yeah. And so you can put it in, you can convert it in any other kind of, you know, measurement that you, yeah.
But that explains then why you've all had it in group where you see a number, it appears, and it's like 8 pounds lighter, and then it drops, and then it stabilises, and it's like, here's what you could have had. Have you ever spotted that, where you're like,
oh, yeah.
I've never been that way, but it just shows you, doesn't it? You have full sense of security.
So it's the pressure on it, on the pressure sensor, the crystal turning into a current, and then the current basically converted into a weight measurement. I mean, I was like, boom. Then I went another level, okay? I got a different colour pen, and I went another level, Anna, to this. I mean, first of all, I was looking at the difference between mass and weight. I mean, mass is an amount of matter in a material, and weight is actually how the force of gravity acts upon that mass. And if you'd like a formula, I love a good formula, it is W equals M times G, which is weight is mass multiplied by the acceleration of gravity. Why am I telling you this, right? Because gravity matters. Gravity in this planet that we call Earth, I mean, I don't think we've got any listeners outside of Earth. They don't come up on the analytics, but they might do. I mean, hi if you're listening from another universe. Gravity obviously makes a difference in how much you weigh because of that formula. So I then found a website which basically told me my weight if I lived on different planets.
Oh my God, where were we the thinnest?
Exactly. And I was like, well, if I lived here, I'll be Target. Yeah.
Where's the lightest planet?
Right, so I just took a random number, okay? I took £150, which is 10 stone, 10 pounds, right? Just a rough figure. In Pluto, we would be 10 pounds.
Going.
Well, yeah. In Mars, we would be 56 pounds.
Bit hot, though.
maybe. Saturn, we'd be about the same, £160. In Jupiter, we would be 2.5 times heavier, £379.
Oh, no.
I think I even jotted down a figure for the sun, and it was like, whoa.
Melting.
Not even worth. I mean, it was a very heavy melted snowman. It's the only way I could write it. Yeah, something that's melted but it's still heavy. I was like, how do you get that your head around that? But still, it was a fun little task to go about doing and just have fun. Like, we're meant to play around with this a little bit. And, you know, Dr. Linda Papadopoulos talked about in episode 76, managing your mindset, about using the scales as a report card. And using it as data. So then just taking this data and playing around with it a little bit, I think it does help take the emotion. This is meant to be a fun journey. It's not meant to be torture.
No, and I think that's the whole point of it. And I was talking to a lady in one of my sessions today who was talking about the food that she was enjoying, and she was oozing all sorts of joy and happiness about the plan until we got to talking about the number on the scales, and everything changed. And I could just see, if she hadn't paid any attention to that number, she would have felt brilliant. And like I said just before, that's a real warning sign. If this is causing you pain, step away from it. Go buy a non-scales Victory. Go buy a pair of jeans. Measure your inches. Look at me when I measured my knees. Look, I will always go back to my knees shrinking, my fingers shrinking. It's those type of things that you could use as an indicator that don't then make you feel bad on a Thursday night and make you go and order, you know, 10,000 sins worth of pizza. So I really like to see if patterns happen. And I know for me and some of my members that it's a domino effect. For other people, like we've heard on the comments, it's absolutely a brilliant thing that they weigh once a week and it motivates them. I think you just have to find your balance, don't you?
Yeah, well, that I think that is one of the things that I do quite like about Slimming World, you know, that I have tried different things, but I quite like the adaptability of it. Like, it's not, you must eat a shake for dinner, you must have a chocolate bar for breakfast, you must have this for sachet for tea.
Yeah.
Actually, depending on where I am, what I'm doing, where in my journey I am, I can adapt it and keep changing it. I like that flexibility.
Well, I think we're all adults, aren't we? And we need choice and we need flexibility in our lives, because I don't know about yours, mine does not run like clockwork. It is not boxed off. And especially in lockdown, I think we're more vulnerable because of our heightened emotions, because of where we're feeling and what's going on in our lives. So I am a massive believer with my mental health. If it don't make me feel good, it's out.
What, you did a bit of geekery yourself, didn't you? Looking on the website for some resources?
No, I was looking in the Slim for Life book, which is one of my favourite kind of places to understand where it all kind of crescendos, or where it all kind of ends, and it says some really good things about ultimately as target members. We don't want you to have to come to group every week and get on the scales. We don't want you to be a slave to it. We want you to trust in your habits, trust in the choices that you've made and the things that you've learned, and know that if you stick to those principles that are deeply ingrained, actually you will stay within that beautiful limit of your target. Because if I'm 94 and I'm having to write down every apple I eat and getting on the scales, that means I've gone wrong somewhere, doesn't it? But actually, you know, like you were saying, I've eaten some more pizza, I've had some more sugar, and my jeans are a bit tight. That's probably going to make you do something different, but in a much more, choosing to do it more than the scales.
It's intuitive.
Yeah. So the scales, if you'd seen the scales go up, you might have got cross, you might have got angry, you might have got sad and almost rebelled against what the scales said, but you've just said, my jeans are a bit tight. Maybe I won't have pizza next week, which is what we would love you to ultimately get to, is that kind of free choice and knowing that you know your body and your mind better than anyone else. But that you're always welcome in group if you do want to get on the scales, but you just don't need to become that person that sat there when you're 94.
So It is okay if a member still pays, still goes to virtual group, but doesn't give a weight.
So now in the virtual system, yes, if you haven't got scales and the opportunity to weigh, or you're choosing not to. However, I must say this with like a caveat, if that's the right word. If you know that by not weighing, that you are not going to food optimize, or you are not going to do your very best, then let that be as equal a warning as if getting on the scales multiple times is going to send you away from food optimizing. Does that make sense? So I would say to anyone, especially if you're starting brand new, we need a barometer. So I would weigh, but like someone like you, where it was just almost stopping you, you needed the support of group, but not the weighing. So I don't want to say give up weighing, because that's not what I'm trying to say, but I'm just trying to say be mindful of what it could be doing to you, especially if you have never had scales at home before and now you have and you're seeing that causing a problem.
Yeah, it's like reading through some of the comments, people have like put them in a cupboard drawer that they only open on a Wednesday at 9 a.m.
I've got people whose husbands, brothers, dads, mums, sisters have hidden the scales. They only come out once a week. Some people who will go to a local pharmacy and weigh. I think we need accountability. And for a lot of people, that comes from the scales. So I would almost advocate to get weighed once a week, but use it as part of the journey. So weighing is one part, like writing down your food is another, like body magic is another. And I think where it gets lost is when our whole focus is on what that number says. Because depending, like, as a woman, where you are on your cycle, if you've eaten something that holds a lot of fluid the night before, you know, all sorts of things can work into it. But I think we've got to be really honest that sometimes we can fool ourselves and we can almost believe that we're food optimizing when we're not. And that's when the scales will not be going in the right direction. And that's the majority of people. So I think we have to use it as something to open our eyes, but not kind of chastise ourselves with.
What, one of the things it has helped me appreciate is some non-scale victories, I think. You know, I've finally got into the point in the last like few months where I've been building a new wardrobe. Like, we did the clothes shopping episode, didn't we, back in November? Can you believe it?
How nice would it be to go and do that again?
Oh, I know. But so I've kind of been on doing online shopping and just building. And yesterday I had to film a load of videos, and I actually had, I had 11 videos. I had 11 outfits, and I can't remember the last time that I enjoyed dressing myself.
Did you feel
in the
good
morning.
In them all? Or you like, yes, I love
I mean, and a flashback to like thinking about birthday nights out where a load of friends had come up to stay with me. We were going out into town for drinks and clubbing. And I just remember this one time where I just put loads of weight on in that those couple of months, and I had nothing fit. It was like that classic Smith song, I haven't got a stitch to wear. And it ruined the whole night. And really, I should have been like, my friends were here. And like, what's the issue? Just put something on and get out. And it really ruled my head. So I have started thinking about those little moments. And interestingly, you know, like we talked last week about diabetes and how the difference that losing 10% of body weight can really do in potentially reversing type 2 diabetes. And you know, I've shared the story. We talked about Happy Hearts a few months ago. My mom dropped me a call this week to say that she has lost over a stone. She's lost more than 10% of her body weight. And she's done this with lockdown, okay? And she's done her activity. And as a result, her doctor is taking her off some of her medication within 5 months of having a heart attack.
Oh, like, that's just like the best news. Oh, well done. That is better than anything. Oh my God. Your body is like doing a big old clap inside saying, thank you for giving me good stuff.
It is, isn't it?
Do you know, and I think that sums it up. I think that totally sums it up. Please, people, please my people. I didn't mean like that. Please, guys, don't get caught up on those numbers. Get enjoying those amazing changes, you know. Get thinking about the exciting things that you're experiencing, and not that the scales says you're, you know, half a pound, 3 pounds heavier, because it doesn't do anything to you, does it? It doesn't make you a better person.
No, thinking the big picture. I mean, you know, just looking at a couple more of these comments here. Carrie's talked about how for her weight loss has been a help. She's lost over a stone since lockdown began. She got to Target, she lowered it, and then has almost achieved her second target.
Oh my God.
Without doing a weekly weigh-in for her, she probably would have gone F it and fallen completely off the wagon. So this summer, she is celebrating that she's going to be able to rock a bikini for the first time in her whole life.
Oh, wow, I love that. Now, that is something so incredible. I think she makes a really good point. For her, the scales were really positive and really necessary, and they gave her that accountability and that... I think a lot of people, when they're in group, it signals a new start as well, doesn't it? Like, I've done that, I've weighed, a new start. So it's whatever works for your psyche, really. But also what I've learned as a consultant is it's how we manage our own expectation, how we manage our own achievement, and how we chart our own success. And that's a really important thing to look at. What you are doing and how you celebrate that. If you're chasing an award and a sticker, then you're wanting that instant and constant gratification for your achievement. And it's maybe looking at, well, actually, is it seeing that, you know, I don't have four boobs behind me anymore, or I can paint my own toenails? It's those things that sometimes the scales will never tell you.
Yeah, I mean, talking about chasing awards and certificates, I'm week three of my second time of doing the silver body magic.
Oh my goodness. And there's the new body magic campaign that we've just released, Claire.
And you what is this?
Well, I need to get my bit of paper so I don't say it wrong, because I'll get killed, won't I? It's called It's a Kind of Magic. And Claire, you need to be part of this, because there is an award in each session for the kind of mover and shaker that's voted for by the group. So it's about choosing some activity, doing your movement, tracking it and sharing it on social media. The world of social media is alight with all people's type of body magic. We're running different things online. So much fun, Claire. So you could be up for like mover and shaker of the group.
Oh, wow.
Do you like an award? I'll show you the award when we get off the screen, because it's a beauty.
Talking of body magic, right? Last Sunday, went for a walk. There's an old railway line down here. Accidentally ended up walking for 8 hours.
You're
oh, my
this.
God. 35,000 steps. 35,000. My feet were not moving after about 6 hours.
That's when you get your Uber app out. And you say, there's no accidental. I'm getting in the car.
You're on the railway line in the middle. So basically, we walked all the way down there. We walked so far that the accents changed. We went from Manc to Yorkshire. It was just really weird. I was like, yep, we've definitely come very far from home, because they don't sound like where we come from. We were like foreigners. It was very strange. But
sorry, carry on and I'll tell you what I was asked the other day about you.
Oh, I couldn't walk for another 2 days. My feet were hurting. Oh, God.
How amazing. 38,000 steps, did you say?
35.
Come on. So someone said to me the other day, is Claire really as active as she pretends to be? And are you really not as active as you pretend to be? I was like, yeah, it's not false. I'm all hair, nails, all like handbags, and Claire's all walking boots and rustic. So true though, isn't it? We are yin and yang.
Do you know what I do wonder, right? Imagine if there was activity diaries, like there's food diaries, and you had to submit it to your consultant to get your body magic as proof.
Is it not?
Oh, but have you ever had anyone write sex as an activity?
Not write it, but talk about it in group, yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I always find that, you know me, I'm no prude, but I always find it really hard when someone wants to chart that as a body magic, because that's a really personal thing, and I don't want to get into that, if I'm honest. But you know what? Anything that raises your heart rate, if it's happening, it's happening. Just don't feel you need to share it with me and the rest of the group.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you had to just show evidence on your Fitbit or your Garmin, like if you're in zone 2 of heart rate, that classes as activity. Gardening could also raise it, right?
I'm going to ask you a question off air because it could go down the wrong road. You could go back to naked yoga again, and we'll just our sponsorship will just be cut off overnight if I don't ask you this compliment.
Coming back full circle to the subject, laugh quite a lot at was someone said they enjoy the home weigh-in because they get to weigh naked.
You know what? The amount of pictures that I've received with just some bare feet and some reflections have been brilliant. We've had a few laughs about it, yeah.
Yeah. What?
Well, I think a lot of us, we do naturally get weighed naked, don't we? And maybe take a little snap of our feet on the scales.
Sometimes. And you've seen a reflection upwards of...
It was a very close friend, so it was fine.
Wow. I mean, we're close, but that's not going to happen.
No. So I think it's just really important to recognise when you're submitting your weight, just things to do and maybe not things to do. Yeah, the weighing naked. But then when you get back to group, you're going to have to do it with your clothes on. And how much do your clothes weigh?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing that we never mentioned, right? How some people always wear the same clothes when they weigh.
I
didn't always really. Leggings, I suppose, but I would never weigh in jeans. I mean, yeah, you mentioned briefly about the pre-weigh etiquette that some people go to. Oh.
A wee, a poo, like an air expulsion. Some people like to breathe out. Some people like to breathe in. I've got a couple of people, and we do talk about this in laughing group, about have to look up and not look down. Some people have your hair up,
your hair down.
Hair up, head down. Like a well-known brand of watch weighs half a pound. Like, yeah, there's all sorts of things. Like, you've got to have literally... I have to wear the same black leggings and black vest. And I have to take my socks off. Can't ever wear my socks.
Isn't it weird? We are weirdos, aren't we? All of us are weirdos.
But then I think, for me, that's fear. That sometimes shows me that I'm scraping... I haven't food optimized like I should have, and literally the socks and the watch are my best bet. Again, that's another indicator. And if you've really socked it, it won't matter about your watch, will it? Interesting, isn't it? So how maybe so much of it is subconscious we don't even realize. But I think that whole weigh day etiquette of the weeing, the queue for the toilet, free way, is always pretty big, isn't it?
I feel like we've covered a plethora of material in this podcast. We've gone from pants poo to hoarding to
sex, yeah,
reflections on scales and non-scale victories. I mean, next week we do listeners questions, and I've already started sifting through the questions, and let me tell you, They are very varied.
We're going to get some about sex, poo, and the fact that I've got a 2-1 in a science degree that Claire didn't believe.
Yeah, we need evidence. No, I'm kidding. The irony not being that I actually got a 2-2.
Right, I paid them.
Well, it's been a great joy. I mean, I do miss our little, like, Where are Claire and Anna now? It's all right doing Zoom calls, isn't it? But maybe in the next few weeks, when the weather's better and we could get out, we can do social distance podcasting.
I'm really excited for that. Because we could both drive and then meet up in a field.
Yeah. I could give you a little recorder and you sit in your car and I sit in my car, and then we just open the windows next to each other and do a podcast. It's just a deep...
That will go back to the dogging episode very early on, Claire. I think we need to be careful.
We're not allowed to mention that now that we're like actually proper. But anyway, so we are sponsored by Slimming World.
Sponsored.
Yeah. You can come and find out and connect with us. We do Instagram. We're at Slimming World Podcast. We are also on email at slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. have a little bit of fun and go Google how much do I weigh on other planets. Have a little bit of fun with that. And do make sure that you subscribe and follow our podcast too. That is probably something I keep forgetting to mention that. I'll keep forgetting. I need to write it down in front of me. Yeah. Too many things to say, Anna.
Sorry, I should take the pressure off. Just one other thing. Have you ever Googled how much you weigh and what it corresponds to? Like an elephant's tusk? Is that the right word?
Yes.
Like a washing machine. And it's very interesting when you work out how many guinea pigs you've lost.
Yeah, I'm about quantity, not like
seriously.
One.
Imagine if you worked your way out in cheese triangles. How many could have you lost?
She says to the vegan, yeah.
I know. As it came out, I was thinking, vegan cheese triangle, a coconut cheese. How much have you lost in coconut cheese?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's been a delight. Thank you very much, Anna. And we hope you've enjoyed this. We are always looking for new subjects and new material, and we always read your emails, but whilst we can't always respond to them all, we definitely take them in, absorb them, inhale them, screenshot them, laugh at them, message each other about them to smile. You pick us up and light our day. So we mentioned earlier on in the podcast that we wanted to do something to mark our support for Black Lives Matters movement. And we had to kind of think about what was going to be right for our platform. And this is what we can offer at this moment. It's something that we're going to continue to think about in terms of our content, in terms of our output, and making sure that we can support and love everybody, because that is the way that we are. We you know, color, creed, race, it does make no difference in my eyes. I look at people. I look for people and their stories and what makes their heart tick. So I'm going to open my window and we're going to sit here in silence for 8 minutes 46. Thanks if you're still here. Thanks if you're still, you know, pondering, thinking, if you took the time out. We appreciate your support. And we'll see you next week. And goodbye from Anna and Claire.